That's probably not a Sony attached to your headphones.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm David Brancaccio with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. The consumer electronics giant Sony is reportedly going to cut 10,000 jobs by the end of this year. That's a lot, about 6% of its total workforce. The Japanese Nikkei newspaper is reporting that it's the first major move by Sony's new CEO, who took over this month. Joining us from Tokyo is the BBC's Roland Burke. Good morning.
Good morning.
Where are the job cuts going to be made? Any idea?
Well, we certainly know where half of them are going to be made, because they're coming from previously announced reorganizations of Sony's chemical and small to medium-sized panel-making businesses. The other ones, we don't know, nor even whether they'll be in Japan or elsewhere in the world.
Roland, what ails Sony? Is it something to do with television sets not selling?
Well, certainly in television sets, it faces increasing competition from the likes of Samsung, based in South Korea. There's also another long-term problem. Back in the 1980s, if you were jogging around Central Park, you probably had a Walkman. Now you're much more likely to have a product from Apple. So Sony has lost out. It's been out-innovated by its rivals. And that's really what this problem for Sony is. And that's what the new chief executive is going to have to tackle.
Now, a lot of people also losing jobs, I notice, at other big Japanese electronics companies. I noticed Panasonic and Sharp. What is going on here?
Well, I think this is a function of the difficulty that industrial Japan is having with the change in the global economic order. The fact is that it used to have much more of an advantage than it does still have in some ways in terms of innovation and the quality of its products. But gradually, over the years, the likes of South Korea and indeed China have been catching up. And the combination of that and the strong yen that makes it so much more expensive to make things here, that's why these companies are struggling and having to reorganize.
Well, Roland, thank you very, very much for this.
Thank you.
The BBC's Roland Burke in Tokyo. Now, there are these tidy, medium-sized grocery stores in places like Arizona, Nevada, and California, but Britain's biggest grocery chain has now been told to ditch its fresh and easy stores in the U.S. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
With around a third of Britain's supermarket business, Tesco has hit the ceiling here, and so it's looked for growth abroad, in the U.S. and elsewhere. Over the past 5 years, it launched more than 180 supermarkets in California, Nevada, and Arizona. The ultimate goal was a national chain under the banner Fresh and Easy. But the ventures proved anything but. Earnings shriveled like an old lettuce. Competition stiffened. Losses have topped more than $1 billion. Two of Tesco's biggest investors have now called on the company to pull out of the U.S. Fund manager Justin Urquhart-Stewart says Tesco should never have crossed the pond.
I can't actually remember one British grocery or supermarket firm that's actually succeeded in the United States. And frankly, in that style of business, we've never done terribly well ever since they started throwing our tea in the harbour.
Tesco is now under pressure to come home and focus all its energies on the UK business, which is profitable but flagging. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Also in grocery news, ever wonder how they make money off those bags of ice you can buy on the way out of the supermarket? Well, they may not be making money. The Wall Street Journal reports that Ready Ice is ready to file for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. There's talk it might someday merge with Arctic Glacier, a Canadian rival that also sought protection from creditors. Now let's do the numbers. Such as they are, among the delightful things about being European is getting Easter Monday off of work. Markets are closed in London, Paris, Frankfurt, Australia, South Africa. There'll be a trading day in the U.S., however, and the S&P futures, which are sometimes an indicator of things to come, were trading down. In Japan, the Nikkei index fell 1.5% overnight. The price of crude oil is down about $1.50 to $101.79 a barrel.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, a company that offers financial services designed to serve families with special needs, at massmutual.com/autism.
A man named Rush Limbaugh gets new competition on the radio today. Former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee will debut his own syndicated radio show with a conservative bent right in Limbaugh's same weekday time slot. Limbaugh has been losing advertisers. Marketplace's John Dimsdale has the story.
The slogan for the Huckabee show is more conversation, less confrontation. Doesn't sound like what usually sells on talk radio stations.
since Rush stepped in it, the specter of Huckabee replacing Limbaugh on some of those stations has become a topic of extreme interest in the radio community.
Holland Cook is a talk radio consultant. Ever since Limbaugh called a college law student a slut for supporting contraception insurance, the number of stations signing up for the launch of Huckabee's show has more than doubled. Cook thinks Limbaugh's shock jock language is losing its appeal.
Maybe there's a generational quality to this. When you listen to him, it sounds like a bit of a vestige. He seems to pine for the Gipper, who was elected nearly 30 years ago, and that was then and this is now.
Audiences have been abandoning Limbaugh over the past 3 years, and to keep his base of older white men tuned in, he's resorted to a more inflammatory style, says David Frum, a conservative commentator for the Daily Beast.
So it's been happening to the radio audience. It's like leaving a glass of orange juice out on the windowsill on a hot day. The volume of fluid shrinks, and the flavor becomes much more concentrated.
Frum says Huckabee's softer style will appeal to women who've been deserting Limbaugh's show.
And if you bring women into your listenership, women are bigger consumers than men, and advertisers are very, very interested in talking to a more female-tilted audience.
If Limbaugh continues to alienate women, Frum says he may end up alongside another shock jock, Howard Stern, on satellite radio. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
And finally, the other day I was writing a story with a reference to looking something up using my personal tablet computer. My what? I didn't want to needlessly mention the brand name of the iPad. Now, the Associated Press reports that iPad is becoming the generic term for all devices of its ilk. While Apple will no doubt ruthlessly protect its trademark, the article includes a list of brands that did get so generic they entered the language as common nouns. Zipper used to be B.F. Goodrich, escalator belonged to Otis Elevator, and until 1921, the pharmaceutical giant Bayer owned the brand heroin. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. On APM, American Public Media.
If you haven't done your taxes yet, you're not alone. That sense of dread, especially if you owe money.
The income tax is the worst possible tax from the government point of view. It's the most salient.
I'm Sarah Gardner. The secret world of taxes we're paying every day. No 1040 required. Next time on Marketplace from 8 p.m.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.